from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Watch us. Love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Give Judon more money. No. Atlanta says no. Although they did rework a contract, so who knows? They might be doing something.
Did they finalize a deal?
Oh no, they haven't gotten anything done with Judon. Huh? Well, the problem is that they were up against it, and I think I'm pretty sure I got this right. Chris Lindstrom, the kid from Boston College, who's one of the best guards, if you know, right there with Joe Tooney in terms of best guards in the NFL. They took some money of his and turned it into a $12.5 million signing bonus, therefore giving Atlanta $18 million in room. That doesn't mean they're necessarily going to turn around and hand it to Judon. They still got to get through the season and all that kind of stuff. But Matthew Judon did some speaking to the media folks around here.
And you mean the media, you mean the Burton Family Trust.
Somehow they ended up getting Judon, apparently. And Judon talked in Atlanta as well. Can we start with this? What do you make of the fact that the choice was apparently given to Matthew Judon as to where he wanted to go?
See,
this has been sold as, well, that's the way you set a good tone in your organization.
I disagree with that, because I already know what you're doing.
Me?
I already know what you're doing. I think it's great. I think it's great. So you're going to give him the option? So he's got two teams and the deal is the same. They go to you and say, listen, thanks for the effort. Like, thanks for, you know what? Like, we're going to let you choose. I mean, I think I would love for that to be a possibility. There's tons of players that would like to have a say in where they go. Hey, there's two options. We don't care either way. It's not like it's the Jets or the Bills. If it was the Jets or the Bills or two AFC teams, it'd be totally different, but it's two NFC teams, and maybe that's why they did it. Because they're not really threatened by either one of those teams.
Well, yeah, because here's the thing. Now the next guy that has a contract holdout and wants to get traded is, because I'd love for you to tell me how great this will be, when next year's holdout, whomever it is, pick a defensive guy probably, whenever there's the hold in, let's say, and they go to trade someone and that guy doesn't get it, well, then everybody gets boo-boo face because, well, you treated this guy differently than this guy. Like, this is where there's got to be a little bit of a line drawn, in my opinion. Look, if Jerod Mayo wants to be the great man of relationships, then God bless him. But the Patriots proved that when business needed to get done, there was one guy in Elliott Wolf who was willing to say and put the stop sign up and not engage with Judon. In fact, Nick, let's go to, this is Matt Judon talking to NBC Sports Boston about the way the talks went down. Because if this is, you know, we're going to maintain the relationship and things like that, what'd they do? Just throw him the nicety at the end after not talking to the guy? Here's Judon in his own words.
Why didn't the deal get done?
I don't know. I feel like we just never sat down and really came to the table as men. So I think that's the biggest point. It's like they kind of didn't know where I was at. We kind of didn't know where they was at. It was like, you know, it was just always through text messages or phone calls. We just never sat down and actually talked about it. I think that was the biggest kind of disconnect.
Did you ask to? Did you, you know, talk to some of the front office, Elliott, et cetera, say, like, let's have a sit-down conversation about this, your agent?
For sure, I asked. And I sent those messages to my agents, and I asked personally. But that ain't kind of where we left off.
I actually love this. The Elliott Wolf was like, nah, we don't need to meet.
Yeah.
I love it.
Like an adult in the organization who is willing to do business and look at Judon and tell him no.
Yeah, so you're not
doing it again. But what I didn't like was the whole, now again, so the next guy in line who thinks he's Matthew Judon and he does that erode what nice place they're trying to build down there in Gillette? Because to me, when you do it with the first guy, you now set the precedent. And you now have something that other people can throw at you and say, well, how come my guy doesn't get to pick wherever you're going to send him to? Why is he the guy you're going to draw the hard line in the sand and not give him a professional courtesy? Again, I'll use that phrase.
I think that I'm not married to a precedent. I don't think that is an issue, because if I'm Elliott Wolf or I'm Gerard Mayo, like, I live by the idea that every situation is different. And just because one guy got something doesn't mean you're going to get it.
Yeah, but
unless we'd all make the same amount of money.
No, but clearly I think there are some guys who saw the way that certain people acted last year and went about doing things and then mimicked it this year.
Do you think that Devon Godchow was inspired by Matthew Judon?
100%. 100%. 100%.
Even with his agent being Drew Rosenhaus, who doesn't need any sort of inspiration, Drew Rosenhaus could have obviously identified that there was an opening there for his client, because Judon is not represented by Rosenhaus.
And here's the other thing, too. If Godshaw thought of it or might have caught wind that, or maybe Rosenhaus might have been the one to be like, hey, man, Judon went back last year. He's going to go back this year. We're not going to look like the bad guy. We're not going to be the one who's doing it a second time. Yeah, I think you can bake it into a little bit of your, if it's the whole, hey, it's me and my agent, and we're sitting there and we're discussing how to handle the business end of things. Like, again, I praised Elliott. I think Elliott Wolf has done a very nice job. I think there are things he's held the line on. It doesn't bug the hell out of me. People are screaming, what about all the money on the cap space or whatever? Trust me, they're going to end up eating some contracts here, and they did with Judon, where they're going to gobble up some of that money, but it won't be spent at a level in which fans will be happy this year. And I'm okay with that, because it appears as if there is at least a little bit of a plan. But yes, I do. I absolutely think, and to even go a step further, it was with Bill, who apparently half the people down there were afraid to talk to, and the other half thought he was a prick, which he was, but in a good way. So, and they're thinking, oh, yeah, little Elliott's really going to push back. You know what I mean?
Little Elliott.
Like, you know, like,
who in the hell does he think he is?
There you go. Elliott. No, but I mean, if I'm sitting here and being told that Judon is a leader, who do people follow?
See, you think that I look at it as a way for the Patriots, almost like a PR move. He's a fan favorite. Everybody likes him. And they've been supporting him. And this is the way for the Patriots to show, like, their appreciation. So it's almost like a publicity stunt in a way. And if it was a different conference, a different division, this would not have happened. But because it's two NFC teams and they're not a threat to them whatsoever, they don't play the Chicago Bears or the Atlanta Falcons. What do they care? So, sure, you know what? We'll let it known that, oh, by the way, we gave him the option. Yeah, just look at the sources. They leaked it on purpose to show everybody that they're the good guys. Look at us. Yeah, we drive a hard bargain, but we love our guys, and we love them so much, we respect them so much, that we even gave them the option of teams.
Now you've landed on it. You're right. It was a move for optics to keep up the, hey, it's different here.
I will say this. We don't know this, and maybe we will now because Bill talks and is telling stories like crazy, and we only have a certain amount of time before he goes back into coaching, and he'll just shut up again. But do you think Bill never did anything like similar to this for some of the guys on his team? Do you think that he ever did a solid to a guy that he liked and he respected, right? That did all the right things while they played here? Are we to like to imagine or just assume that he never did anybody any favors, even if it benefited him or for the just for the show of it?
Of course he did.
Of course he did.
Yes, of course he did.
Absolutely he did. It's like part of their DNA over there in Foxborough.
However, with Bill, you knew where the hard line was, and then it was the, oh, he's showing me a little bit of
grace.
You know,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Sympathy,
but
empathy.
You know, but I'm sure if you asked Willie McGinnis, he would say, no, Bill's a D and drove the hard bargain. That's why I went to Cleveland.
Do you think that that Bill traded Jimmy Garoppolo to San Francisco because he liked Jimmy, or because it was like the best deal, or is it because it was just the most convenient and easy? It's like when I talk about landing in a sweet spot for Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, I'm just using him because he's the most relevant, you know,
name recognition
that I can think of.
I have the most correct take in the world on it. What is it? Bill Belichick traded Jimmy Garoppolo to San Francisco because Tom Brady was 1 year away from having his contract repurposed, and it took away Brady's mistress. In the mind of everyone that ever played football with Tom Brady or knew Tom Brady, he was drafted to New England, but the mistress was really San Francisco. So if you're Belichick, you get the pick back that you used. You then send them a quarterback that you know, because they're going to be rubbing peanut butter all over their nipples, they're going to give him a long-term contract. Therefore, when it comes time to talk turkey and try to have some leverage over Tommy, there was no mistress for him to go to. Tell me where I'm wrong.
If they got four ones, they wouldn't trade him.
So San Francisco was like a siren song for Brady.
Yeah.
And he was just drawn to it.
When Brady went into free agency in, what was it, 19 or 20, yeah, whatever it was, you mean to tell me that if San Francisco didn't have the spot, they wouldn't have figured it out? I dare say Brady probably, that would have been one of the places where he would have taken less to go to. But I'm convinced to a moral certainty that, okay, to Bill Belichick, it was, I used the pick, I got it back. That's typical just personnel in the NFL. The reason it was San Francisco is because it affected Brady more than any other place.
Well, that's
your mind's blown by that, aren't you? Because that's the deviousness of Bill Belichick.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, I can easily,
Bill's playing chess. Everybody's playing checkers.
Yeah, that's what a master chess player would do.
Absolutely.
By the time you figure it out, it's too late.
And I bet you he sold craft on that, too. But I took away the biggest problem.
I mean, that's some Game of Thrones-type mentality right there, but I like it. I absolutely like it.
But
it's the craziest theory I think I've heard.
And when you think about it, does it not fit the personalities of both Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, especially at that time?
No, it absolutely does. That it absolutely does. But I just look at the Judon thing, and the Patriots were lucky to find themselves in a position where they can look like, you know, magnanimous, you know, like, you know, they look like the, you know, the good soldier, like the, you know, the thankful boss who just wanted to send you out with a golden parachute minus the money.
Somebody said Gronk to Tampa. Bill didn't need to do that.
Again, great example. That's the kind of the ones that I'm looking for. I would even say there's more. Someone
said rumors that happened with Chandler Jones as well to Arizona. Jones even commented on it. Well, that was also one of those. All right, we got to get rid of this guy.
It's only going to go
worse.
Let's
handle him with some kid gloves here type thing.
Was Shaq Mason sent to Tampa?
To
rebuild the whole basically old Patriots team down
yeah,
there?
Yeah, for like a sixth or something like that or whatever it was. But I don't know if they went to him and said, hey, would you like to go there? I figured it was, okay, you're going
to go to where Brady is. I would say Gronk earned it much more than Matthew Judon did.
Yeah.
Like, Gronk earned a solid thank you for the effort. Here you go. I'm going to make sure I take care of you. You know, no one's going
to
hold a grudge.
He tried to send him to Detroit, though.
It's true.
Well, there was that.
And then he threatened to retire because he was going to go there.
Yeah, that's true.
They're definitely.
Hey, but no hard feelings.
Yeah, right.
No hard feelings.
Of course not. Here is something, Nick, let's go to the Judon on the struggle quickly here. Matt Judon spoke in Atlanta yesterday, and I do not know what Matthew Judon is referencing here, but he talked about how the last year has actually been rough on him.
I knew God, but I encountered him over that time. Damn. I went through some hard stuff over that year, and it wasn't because of the injury. Football, this game masked so much stuff. Like I said, a lot of people stopped calling me around a certain time, and
jeez,
I didn't have that. So I learned a lot by myself.
Jeez, what did he say? He didn't know God?
He got to know God. Oh. Yeah.
Jeez.
So that's the one.
God, but I encountered him.
And that's the one where, like, yesterday this morning I listened to some of the Judon stuff, and I was like, what is he referencing? Certain people stopped calling around a certain time. Like, it's very cloak and dagger type comments there. But, like, does he feel usurped by someone in the organization? Did people go dark on him? Did not enough people check in? Is that the genesis of, you know, Mayo's I'm the relationship guy?
Yeah.
I was checking in on him all the time. Like, something was there with Judon that now makes me think, okay, so what's the genesis of that?
I know.
And he said it wasn't injury related either.
Man, it's tough being hurt when your team only wins four games.
Well, but also it's out of sight, out of mind. If you're not going to the facility every day, if the guys don't see you,
that's for everybody.
I was just going to say, that's the lonely part of football, is it not?
He's a very complex person.
Apparently so, but you know what he ain't getting?
Many layers.
You know what it doesn't look like he's not getting, at least right now? Mo money.
Mo money. Mo neither.
At least it doesn't look like it right now. We do. Fourier has a Hardo of the Day nominee, and it ties into us talking about Bezos and the Celtics. Let's pump the brakes.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress.
Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Gresh and Poirier on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
All right, let's get into some C's here, Foyer. The Olympics are over. The workouts are now beginning again because, sure enough, what are we, 5 weeks away from camp opening up?
Jeez,
or something like that?
Already?
Oh, no. We are right around the corner from the Celtics and the Bruins joining the sports party once again here in Boston. And before we get to the hardo of the day, we need to talk about who might be swooping in to buy the Celtics. I know that from the Ringer, Bill Simmons had mentioned stuff that he had heard, and the NBA is, and again, this is, I don't think it really needed to be an insider or needed to be Fellini to know the end of the movie, that this will be the biggest purchase price in the history of the NBA. And whether it is $5 billion, $5.5 billion, $6 billion, which has been, regardless of what it is, it's going to, and logic would tell anybody who can follow business, would set really the rate or the tone for how much the NBA will ask for once they do these expansion franchises. And Fenway Sports Group, it looks like they were never really in. You and I workshopped that, and really, after talking about it for, you know, 5 minutes with a little bit of logic, you kind of realize that they're more likely to land their own expansion franchise than to buy the one that's already in town where they can't really control the situation the way they would need to. So, of course, Jeff Bezos' name has been brought up, and one of the things that keeps getting attached is, well, he's going to want his own building. He's going to want his own building. Really? I mean, do we really think that a guy who has $5 billion in just walking around money, let's be
real, spending cash.
Just spending cash, yeah, right?
Discretionary income.
That if he really wants the asset, the fact that he doesn't already own an arena in Boston would hold it up? That just doesn't seem to connect with me at all from a business standpoint.
And the and after we talked to Charlie Jacobs last week at the Jimmy Fund.
You want to hear it?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Do you have what he said
we
about
do.
The lease?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's so for those thinking that the building's going to be a part of this, Charlie Jacobs was like, whoa, it's not a problem now.
Listen, I'm very good friends with the current Celtics ownership, and I've had conversations with both Wick and the, frankly, the majority of the minority owners of that group. We have a very good rapport and have had one for 20-plus years. I'd expect that whoever the new owner is will come in and we'll talk about it. The Celtics have signed a lease with the TD Garden for another 12 years or so, okay. So I don't expect that they'll be moving anytime soon.
Even when he said that, I felt like he kind of smirked a little bit. Like, hey, you know, I know something you don't. It ain't happening. So anyone who decides to purchase a team with the sole goal of owning the team and having their own arena it's going to have to wait a while before they like can really reap the benefits of, you know, owning, you know, the tickets, the concessions, all that stuff.
And if Bezos wants to buy them out of that lease, I'm sure that if he, but again, now you're just getting into the weird world of, well, you have so much money, throw half of it away. Like, oh, no. People who have that kind of wealth don't think that way. And I also don't think that an arena is going to hold up a guy like Bezos from buying the asset. Hell, if anything might hold it up, it's this 51-49 chop they want to do. Because, again, Bezos can come in and just be like, all right,
I want the whole thing.
Yeah, it's like, I want it now. What do you want? $6 billion? Fine. Checkbook, write it, hand it, done.
It is
it's wild.
Even when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, why would a guy like that have any interest in buying, you know, the Celtics?
Oh, I think owning the Celtics and having the asset is one thing. For those who think that this guy needs an arena to come along with it, if he makes that choice, that's fine. Hell, if Bezos is really that horny to get the arena, then just buy the arena. Garden.
Buy the whole street.
Just buy the garden.
Buy the street.
Exactly right. Wiggy, you're out.
Yeah,
forget
Wiggy,
about it.
Sorry, they just
jacked
your rent up.
See you later. Get out, Wiggy. No, but I mean, really, if that to me, that's the path of least resistance. I know, like, the Greg Hill Show had the mayor of Everett on today. I also, with all due respect to the great people of Everett and Encore that's over there, which is beautiful and wonderful, and that Asian fusion place in there is really good.
But, so is the steakhouse.
Yeah, the steakhouse good too. But, you know, Jeff Bezos gets off his, what, $100 million plane, and then they're like, hey, boss, we're going to whisk you to this site that's really perfect for an arena, and they take him to Everett beside the power grid.
The power plant, yeah.
By the power grid that's there or whatever, and he's looking around going, ugh, I'm going to put something here? Like, just go buy the asset and then deal with the rest later.
And I do think, so there's a I don't think the stadium is like you know, a deal killer, right? It's not gonna kill it. I do think the chopping it up
might be more problematic.
I don't want any partners. If I'm a billionaire and I don't want you butting in, I don't want you up on stage, I don't want you trying to hold the trophy. It's my toy now. Beat it. Here it is.
The only person Bezos would want up there with him would be Lauren Sanchez.
Yes, and maybe Tony Gonzalez, because
maybe
it's the perfect blended family right there, those guys. No, but I mean, I don't care. I heard Greg, you know, bitching about it, like, oh, you want Amazon? No, who cares? Do you really care? If Jeff Bezos owns the team, you'll never see him.
Well, here's the thing about having a guy like Bezos, and billionaires will do this all the time, and I understand it, but it'd be a real hard selling point for Bezos to look at the fans and be like,
I'm not spending any money.
I don't want to give that extension. You know what I mean?
That's true, though. Like, you're talking about, like, taxes?
Recession-proof. Like, and now... Do you know who really wins if Bezos buys the Celtics? The other owners in town.
Oh, yeah.
Because RKK would be like, I don't have Bezos money.
I know.
You know?
That's a,
like,
whole other level of cash.
Oh, my God. They
Isn't that crazy? There's tiers of billionaires as well.
And I'll tell you what. I think there is a little bit of a rush, let's say, of the sports leagues to get Bezos in. Are you kidding me?
Go to Vegas.
That's a game changer. You're right. I don't know
why.
Just start
from scratch.
And if Seattle is
another one,
but that's in the backyard, is it not? Like, isn't that the Amazon's up in the Pacific Northwest?
No, Amazon,
or is it California?
No, Microsoft is in
Microsoft. Okay,
Microsoft is like right down the street.
But I mean, Amazon it's still a West Coast based company.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you would think that maybe and you're right with Bezos. You would think it would just be like, okay, NBA, what do you want? $6 billion? Fine, I'll start building the arena so it's ready in 4 years.
Yeah, in Vegas, to the Silicon Valley people, like, Vegas is kind of like. like Palm Springs to people who live in L.A. we're just going to drive to Palm Springs, you know, hang out in the heat, you know, and they have like second homes there. And that's what Vegas is for Silicon Valley.
People from Vegas, it's like, yeah, we're going to go cool down in Palm Springs this weekend. It's
yeah. Like, so it makes sense for like Vegas. If you like want to do like I get like there's a massive allure to, you know, owning the Celtics. It's like you're right, like it's a crown jewel.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a, you know, a Picasso, some like rare painting, and billionaires like owning these random things just because they like collecting stuff that nobody else can afford, and they overpay for it.
They do.
They absolutely overpay for it. It was nuts.
And the Bezos thing was interesting. Now, I also think too that maybe we need to slow the roll a little bit, because this guy is one of the most obvious people out there. You don't need a business degree to figure out that Bezos has sniffed around teams before, and he's just got billions of dollars falling out of his waz. However, is that necessarily the way the gross Becks may end up wanting to go? Maybe the hangup is this whole 51-49 chop that's going to happen over periods of time. That, to me, sounds like you're kind of greasing the skids for PAGs and the existing people who might have to pay you out that way for you to be able to be whole in selling the team. Versus, and we don't know who else is lying in wait either. Let me give you another one real quick that was out of nowhere when I think the Broncos, I'm pretty sure they were a finalist. Remember the entertainer, Byron Allen?
Oh, that's right.
He's apparently worth a ton of money. He's got big business interests, and I do believe him and his crew made a major bid on the Broncos. Now, they got bumped out, I do believe, by Walmart money, right?
Okay, it's a whole nother level.
We go to the big corporation, you know, a Walton, a Bezos, or, you know, someone from Microsoft. There's lots of people with lots of money in this country. And the reason Wick Grosbeck went and hired the banks and the firms that he did is because I will lump all of us into this audience. All of us dum-dums don't have any idea where some of the real money is lying in terms of this bidding process. So we can do the no pants dance because, ooh, Bezos might be interested. There's going to be a bunch of other people with some long bread that are going to get into this as well. Like, Bezos could be endgame because he could just flip everybody off and say, fine, $8 billion, match it.
Yeah.
You won't see a boom done. But I don't think even he is that crazy. But there will be more. There are going to be way more people than we would ever even imagine that are going to get lined up for this. It's the Boston effing Celtics, for God's sakes.
I know.
And then you just buy the garden and there you go.
Yeah, just buy the whole street.
That would be kind of amazing.
Wiggy's going to be writing his his mortgage check. It's going to be bank of Amazon.com.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, when you order batteries from Amazon, make sure you send the check too for the mortgage. Baby, we got a lunchtime parlay coming up. We're getting real close on these. We've been flirting around, getting on a little hot streak with the parlay, but since we are talking about the Boston Celtics foyer, that now leads us to your nominee for Hardo of the Day.
Where will they rank on this week's...
I'm a big guy. I'm a big, strong guy. If I wanted to put someone in the hospital, I easily could.
Julian Edelman.
You. I don't want to play hard. I want to you up.
I don't eat breakfast in the morning so I can come to work hungry. It doesn't have AC, and it doesn't have heat. And the reason I do that is so I can practice my mental toughness.
Hardo Scale.
All right, so go to Twitch right now, and Jacob's going to put up a couple pictures. I wasn't sure if you guys even mentioned this yesterday or not, but if you go to Twitch, and I'll tell you if you're just listening, driving in your car, Jaylen Brown doing his underwater workouts, dribbling underwater, doing a handstand underwater. He's got a mask on. He's done this a lot in the past.
Yeah.
It looks like this pool is like a special Navy SEALs training pool.
I'm not so sure.
It's super, super deep.
No, I think that is a... Either... That might be...
It's not a YMCA pool.
No, but I think that is... See how where the way Jaylen Brown is standing, there's like a different color tile.
Yeah.
I think those are swim lanes. And I think those pools are like 10 feet deep or something like that.
This area looks like all those training videos you see of the Navy SEALs do when they jump in, they take their mask and they tie their hands up and they have to try to escape and get to the surface before they drown. And here's another one, him doing a headstand. All right, so listen.
Yeah, and his feet aren't far from the top there, so that's probably a 10-foot pool.
So I wanted to nominate him for Hardo of the Day for training underwater.
Again.
Acting like just do something normal. So everybody gets a vote. Everybody gets to choose if they think it's the Hardo or not. 0 to 10. 0 being 0 Hardo at all. 10 being, as high as it gets. So, Billy, I know you've seen this picture. I know you want to weigh in. You've been chomping at the bit to give me a score. 0 to 10, Jaylen Brown, swimming, working out with weights, dribbling underwater. Look how different I am. I'm Jaylen Brown. Give me a number.
1.
1?
1. It's not Hardo at all. Everybody and their mother does some kind of water-based workouts.
Yeah, old people. Yeah, old people do it.
Track runners. Track stars do it. This isn't something new that he's trying to like make a thing. People work out in the water all the time. He's a 1.
Okay, you got him as a 1. Okay, Nick, what do you got? No, you keep your score. I like your score. 1. What do you got, Nick?
Like a 3.
Okay.
Because it's worked for him before.
Did it, though?
He did this last year. And he probably should have been all NBA. Really close, anyway. And he won Eastern Conference Finals MVP and Finals MVP after he did it. It worked for him. Keep doing it.
Yeah, okay. He didn't make the Olympics, though.
Hold on. I need to call a timeout right in the middle of this here. We have a someone in the Twitch chat who is raising a question of fake. Isn't the ball filled with air? How does it dribble?
Maybe it's a special underwater ball. I have no idea because normally
it should go up to the surface. So yeah, he's more. So I don't think it's fake. That looks like a real ball. All right, we're time back in.
Come on.
I'm kind of in the 5 range on this. As crazy as it sounds, okay. I think Hart trying to show out with his guns the other day was more of a Hardo move than this. Here's what I would say. I don't think this is as much a Hardo move as it just is a peculiar training exercise. How's that?
Yeah.
Is that too polite?
No, it's not polite at all.
At a 10? Are you Cannon on this?
No, I'm an 8.
So you're an Andy Hart level.
Look how different I am. Look how crazy my workouts are. Look, I can't just. First of all, they don't work. They absolutely do not work.
Wait, these workouts, the water
don't
workouts?
Do anything, nothing. If you play basketball, play basketball. Play basketball. Train on a basketball court. Like I can't stand when I see guys like who are like tennis players or soccer players running on sand. You don't play on sand. You don't. Your game isn't played on sand. Like work out
Shame
on a surface.
Yeah,
that
tell that
actually
to Rocky
works.
And Apollo.
It's different.
Yeah,
what about running in the snow?
So
if he went to fight on the beach, so why are they doing it?
If he went to Russia, yeah, that's right. They don't fight in the snow. So if he went to Russia and was running up and down the hills like Rocky, it'd be okay.
You can't throw Rocky at me. That's the exception to the rule.
It is every rule.
You can't use an example that disproves my point.
Hey, yeah. It's Rocky. It is cinema. Until I see Sylvester Stallone doing it on his own for real.
And apparently you can dribble a ball underwater. They're called a watermelon ball, and they're filled with water, and it mimics the bouncing of a ball underwater.
Dubs in the Twitch chat says, I'm shocked Fourier hasn't said he can do that.
Well, I mean, I can't. Listen,
I
always get swimmer's ear, so I'm not diving underwater.
Swimmer's ear,
I get like an ear infection. I'm not doing it.
You
like
know, you can open when you have your contacts in, you can open your eyes underwater.
Can I?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Well, that's how you get them in the right eye.
So wait, what?
You were learning so much today.
I am learning a lot today. I gave him an 8. And so with a 1, a 4, and would you give him a 4.5?
I gave him a 5. I put him in the.
Oh, you gave him a 5. That's right. He's a 4.5. He's not too high, not too low. I think it's like, look how, listen, I didn't think it worked the last time he did it. Like, whatever, he was bragging about it. Now he's the MVP, and now he's got to show everybody that he's working out.
Say,
I hate when people, like, when they go to the gym.
Him. He's an athlete.
No,
if
when
it
they,
works for him, he's going to keep doing it. That's how it works.
If you are, like, if you are the person that goes to the gym and films yourself bench pressing, you know, squatting, I feel like that alone is a hard-o move. Look at me. I'm in the gym.
I feel that if smartphones existed when you were in the NFL, you would do the same
Not
thing.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
Ooh, when you had your abs and your big traps.
I never had abs. I had traps.
You about to have traps.
I did not have abs.
I had a guy who puts himself in a music video, I feel like would film himself.
Hold on. First of all, put himself. I was hired.
You put yourself in a
music video. Hired to be to play a role
did
in a music video.
Did they come to you or did
video.
You go to them?
They came to me. I wasn't like,
How
hey.
How did they know to come to you?
My agent got a call. They said, we're looking for a good-looking young athlete that can play the role in this popular music video with this hot band that's about to drop.
What were their fourth or fifth call?
Listen, all I know, the check didn't bounce.
There you go. The 413 says, I think the hardo move is that he's posting it on social media.
Well, that's part of it.
That's every person
that's everything
song.
About social media.
Well, that is too. True.
Yeah, pandering. So like the whole working out. So like if you like, why let everybody know about it? I guess you're right. Maybe I gave him too high of a score. Here's a guy. He's the MVP. He doesn't need to do any of this stuff. He doesn't need to brag about it.
The 603 Christian, by your assessment, Brady must be the biggest hardo that ever existed.
He's turning into one.
By the way,
turning into.
By the way, no. Brady would if we had done the hardo scale when Brady played, he would have been a 10 all day. He was the ultimate hardo.
How was he a hardo? By yelling and screaming at everybody?
No.
Now he's got his shirt off.
No.
He's bragging. He's preaching to everybody.
When you go to, hold on. When you go to a new city and then you tell your teammates you're showing up at this school and then you're practically cutting the locks to get into that place and then whenever they come and try to throw you off the field, you're like, yeah, I'm Tom Brady. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl here. You're going to throw me out?
That's not a hard-o move.
Oh, no, Mr. Brady.
That's not a – you think that's a hard-o move?
When you go to a new city and then you're like, hey, Gronk, I know you've been here 5 minutes. I don't care. Sleep on my couch. Let's go.
No,
and
that
whole,
is the definition of don't
the,
you
the,
know
the
who
whole
I am.
That is
rounding it up and he's
that is,
teaching the –
that is passion.
He's teaching the offense.
Yeah, how is that a hard-o move?
I'd rather have him as the coach than what's going on right now.
That's him. That would be him if he was doing that with like a shirt off, all oiled up with a bandana on.
Oh, so you mean the videos with Alex Guerrero where they're rubbing his leg and it sounds like they're flogging the dolphin or
Listen,
whatever.
The hardo scale on Brady is actually starting to kind of like, you know, show itself. Like there are some
starting. It's been that way forever.
None of the stuff that he does during his career is a hardo move.
He's just handsome. That's why he hasn't made the hardo list.
I'm not blaming him for being handsome, but like nothing that he did as a player was a hardo move.
No.
Edelman, on the other hand.
Oh, well, but he was fake hardo because he wanted to be Brady. Brady was the real hardo. He was the phony one. Gotcha.
No.
Fourier, you ever run with a parachute on your back? We just got that call.
Yes, I did run with a parachute.
How many games did you play with the parachute on your back? Asking for the column.
Listen, that was well done. And those stupid shoes that we talked about to try and make myself jump higher.
Karl Malone catapults?
Is that what they were called?
No, Karl Malone had catapults. Those were full sneakers. You're talking about the ones that had the like, big old thing at the top of the shoe.
Oh, yeah, the ones that made you walk on your toes.
The ones that Jimmy wore in Seinfeld, right?
Yeah.
Jimmy likes Elaine. Jimmy's down. And he's got those big shoes on with the giant things on them.
Like, if you wore for, like, you know, 3 weeks or something like that, it, like, said that you could dunk. Like, you could do, like, a 360 dunk or something like that.
Christian, 3 weeks? I can do this in 3 days.
It didn't work. It gave me shin splints is what it gave me.
Who would have thought that? Potentially putting Jaylen Brown on the hardo scale would have led to this.
I can't believe you think Brady was a hardo during his playing days.
Oh, yeah.
He's the least hardo of hardos.
No, that says hardo like I don't eat tomatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more of a, like, a, you know, a dietary choice. That's
nothing.
Different.
Joints
what if I do? What if I do? What if
nothing.
I do?
My night shift.
You're right.
Oh,
nothing.
My $75 socks.
Yeah, nothing says hardo like believing in what you're doing with your workouts so much that you go get a questionable character to partner up with and open a bunch of places across the country.
Look at you
that
guys.
You got to close half of them
not
because, by God, I'm going to tell you, Christian Fourier, how you should not eat tomatoes, potatoes, but drink this stuff for $80, and you have found the fountain of youth.
This $100 foam roller.
I cannot believe that the people on Twitch right now have turned against Brady.
No, Brady.
I cannot believe they have turned against their hero.
Nobody's turning against the six championships. Nobody's turning against
that. Holy cow.
Or
the manner in which he did it.
Yeah, but and the six.
Him selling clothes or selling like a foam roller is a hard-o move?
No, this is more, I'm Tom Brady and we just won a game 59-0, but by God, I'm going to go drink my horny goat weed, get a rub down, and start watching film 30 seconds after the thing ends. Giselle, beat it, lady.
Wow.
I got film to watch.
Wasn't good enough today. Gotta watch the film.
Yeah, seriously.
But hey, you guys used to praise him for that.
I love it.
Now you're mocking him.
I'm laughing at it because it's kind of funny, but hey, he was such a hardo. His wife said to him after the 7th Super Bowl, "Are you done?" How much of a hardo do you have to be for in a moment of unprecedented success? She looked at you on the field in front of your children. You won a game at home, but you're such a hardo about football that she says, "Tommy, are you done?
Maybe I see that totally different.
Oh, there we go. Well, we went long enough that it could be, "Are you done?" The lunchtime parlay and then current at noon is all next.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, in our four picks yesterday, it was two wins and two losses. The Royals and Gavin Stone came through. The Red Sox and the Blue Jays did not. However, we are $121.80 to the good on the old lunchtime parlay. It is presented by FanDuel, America's number one sports book and the official sports book of WEEI. I'm going to go with the Phillies and Atlanta. Zach Wheeler on the bump for the Phils. I'm going to go under 1.5 walks, in part because I think they're going to smash the crap out of the guy. So under 1.5 walks for Zach Wheeler today. That's plus 100. Billy, what do you have?
I'm going to go with Walker Buehler and the Dodgers hosting the Mariners tonight to cover the 1.5.
Chicken Nick.
Going with what I went with yesterday, the Royals, they're hosting the Angels, so I'm going back to the well. Royals on the run line today against the Angels.
And Scoops Fourier.
I'm going to go with L.A. Sparks visiting the Connecticut Sun, which is actually right here in the Garden. I'm going to go the Sun covering the 14 points.
So we have the Connecticut Sun minus the points, the Royals minus the 1.5, the Dodgers minus the 1.5, Zach Wheeler under 1.5 walks. You put it all together, folks. Your $10 could win you $186.35. That's a multiple of 18. How about that, Ben? We'll get that out on social media, on Twitter and X, Gresh Fourier, WEEI, on Instagram, Gresh and Fourier. We'll talk football with Tom Curran next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.